Hello and welcome to Ganzamation Studios, where tonight we'll be putting down our pencils, pens, and brushes in order to bring you episode 66 of the Nerdstravaganza podcast. I'm Chief Tracer Tom.
I'm Onion Skinner Rick.
I'm Brian.
Apprentice Brian.
Thanks for the heads up, guys.
Well, you're busy attending to your weird audio issues in your strange wing of the animation Ganzamation studio. If you ever make it out of apprentice level, you'll get a title and a noise-free environment. What do you think of that? Oh, and by the way, tonight we'll be discussing some of our favorite works of animated art. But before we get into our highbrow discussion of art, by the way, you guys got your berets ready? We always have to put berets on when we do these episodes. We will kick things off with our weekly geekly, geekly weekly roundup. What's been going on, Rick?
I have been ankle deep in sand on the sands of Tatooine.
Nice.
Yeah, I've been pretty gung-ho about working my character sheet and all that, and we had our first get-together. We didn't really get to adventure much, but, you know, we got to get our feet wet or dry on the sands of Tatooine, as the case may be. Group ended up being a little bit bigger than we thought, so that was a good thing, I guess, a weird thing. Other than that, I have been debating whether or not I'm going to pre-order the long-awaited Disney Infinity. My fanboy side wants to get it immediately. My cheap boy side, which pretty much runs my life, wants to wait to see what kind of deals everyone's going to be offering, because I have a feeling they're going to be a lot cooler deals than the pre-order deals are. So I don't know. I have till next week to figure it out. But that's really been weighing heavily on my mind. And in other gaming news, I was a backer for what's going to be the long-awaited 2014 release of War Machine Tactics. So the beloved tabletop game that we never get to play because I don't know why, all kinds of reasons, mainly building and painting. We're getting a video game version, and everything's going to be painted and built for us already. It's going to be cool.
We're going to have to find a new excuse.
I know, right? Ooh, bad internet.
DirectX.
Yeah, right. So that's been about it for me.
Cool. What about you, Brian?
I did a little mini con this Sunday. I think it was Saturday and Sunday, but I didn't make it Saturday, so Sunday's all that matters. Chibi-Paw Gaming and Comic Convention at Flamingo Gardens. It was interesting. I very rarely get to see so many cackerels be attacked by actual native out in the wild peacocks and spiders.
Where is this Flamingo Gardens?
It's over by Pelican Bay.
I have no idea where that is, actually. It's just in that weird unincorporated part of not really Davie, not really civilization. It is a mangrove, and it is still to this day a mangrove.
So for our geographically distant listeners, it's the western part of the county in which our fair city, well, I guess, resides.
It's a swamp.
Let's go uber swamp. West Fort Lauderdale.
There you go. Extreme West Fort Lauderdale. What else, man? That it?
Immediately after that, in my dire search of air conditioning, I went to three different Goodwills collecting books. As our fans on Instagram are aware, I got 22 different books for like a dollar each. I got amazing books. John Irving, Patricia Briggs, Douglas Copeland, Upton Sinclair. There was one more really good find. It was, two Raymond Feist for less than the cover price of any one of those.
That is a significant saving. So would you say you went hunting for those books?
Yes, yes. I did have to fight spiders and peacocks.
He's a word herder.
You went hunting at Goodwill.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay.
I get it, Tom.
I just don't want to admit it. And other than that, all I did was order a couple of games. I'm nostalgic for old school, apparently. I ordered two DS JRPGs and Magna Carta 2 for the 360.
Oh,
and those
really?
Actually, I was kind of expecting them today, but apparently they'll be here tomorrow.
Didn't know Magna Carta 2 was coming out.
That's been out, apparently. I totally missed it somehow.
Yeah, me too.
Thanks for Halo to getting all the hype. All the really good stuff is missed.
Apparently. Well, I guess it's my turn. I had family in town this past weekend visiting me here in Seattle. So my gaming was a little bit curtailed. Did a little more Animal Crossing, a little more of the 3DS Street Pass games. And fired up my Wii U finally, because there is now an Animal Crossing Plaza in the Wii U.
I heard about this.
Yeah. I'm a little not too sure what its purpose is. It seems like you can interact with people, talk about Animal Crossing, and it did have me put in my Dream Suite ID. So I'm not sure. I haven't fired it up since I did that to see exactly what the impact of doing that is on my Animal Crossing experience, if any. But it was a reason to fire up the Wii U, and that was exciting. That was exciting. Apart from that, I had kind of a techie... Yeah, this is kind of a neat techie, like, I like transportation thing. I took advantage of a car sharing program called Zipcar here in Seattle, because I don't have a car here. I use public transit. But with my dad coming to town, that just wasn't going to happen. So I signed up for Zipcar, and it's pretty cool. You go online, you find a car in a nearby lot, and you know, you have like a card you use to unlock the car. So you reserve it online, just walk over, tap your card on the reader on the windshield, the car unlocks, and you're like good to go. And it's kind of neat car sharing technology. So
are they smart cars?
I didn't really get any IQ on any of them, but actually no, these are just basically small, kind of like four cylinder, usually pretty efficient cars from what I've seen. They do have trucks and vans too, if you should need those. There's a competing company that does feature only smart cars.
Yeah, that's the one I've seen.
I would have heard no end of it if I'd pulled up in a smart car with my dad and his wife needing transportation. That would have gone over like a lead balloon.
That was going to be my next question. So what would he hate more, the idea of riding in a smart car or just taking the bus?
Right, right. Dad, this is all that's available, so what do you think? And that concludes my update, my somewhat... stretchy update, I guess. I'm bad with adjectives today. Let's just get on to the main topic, which is animation.
Animation recommendations from us to you. Yeah.
Ooh, that's good. Good title. And we need to use that for now. We're going to do this every week. So make sure we clip that singing intro, Rick. That was perfect. Right, so animation. We all like animation. We like Japanese animation. We like American animation. Computer animation. And,
Korean animation.
And you name it. We're into animation. And so we thought we would talk to you about some that we would recommend per Rick's jingle.
I'm fond of animated animation myself.
Me too. I like it when it moves. as opposed to being still. Like comic, I like comic book animation, but I hate that I have to do a lot of the work in my brain.
Yeah.
And I hate like book animation, which requires me to do all the work in my brain.
Plus, I like animation. Plus at the end of the semester or school year, you have to give up all of your book animation and usually have to pay fees for destroyed texts. So
it's very true. And then they make you, they like test you on it. You have to take these examinations. I was trying to work animation in there. I just couldn't do it. Sorry. Exam animations. They really suck. So who's got a favorite that they want to go with versus a recommendation for the Ganza Nation animation audience? I've got one. Oh,
go ahead.
Cool, Tom. Yeah, Tom, why don't you go for it? All right, thanks, man. Let me why don't you shut up and let me talk. All right, Tom, no problem. Okay. I have been watching... Well, before I get into one that I know a couple of us have been watching, let me recommend an anime that I've mentioned before in our previous discussions of virtual reality and that sort of thing. Sword Art Online, which is an anime concerning future virtual reality, massively multiplayer online role-playing games, where you jack in with this headset and are sucked into this virtual world. A really cool sort of two-part story unfolds. Really, the show, I guess, runs two seasons, if you want to think about it like that. And came to an end a little too abruptly, even for anime, which is an art form in which it is not unheard of to actually button things up, you know, and have an actual story arc that comes to an end.
Mm-hmm.
But I got the feeling something happened. They were just like, all right, we got to end this, because they could have gone further, and they brought it to a somewhat unceremonious end. But nevertheless, I highly recommend anybody interested in animation, virtual reality, etc., Sword Art Online.
Available on Toonami at like the least convenient time of Saturday morning, by the way.
Did it finally make the plunge over to Toonami?
Where's a good place to watch that?
Well, Toonami's a good one if you're up late.
But what about one on your convenience? Is it on Netflix or anything?
I watched it all on Crunchyroll. And if it is available on other streaming services, I'm not aware of that. I can do a little research and find out. But Crunchyroll once again comes through with delivering what I'd like to watch. I'd be surprised if Sword Art Online, though, didn't make the transition to other streaming services soon if it hasn't yet. Especially now that it's on Toonami. So... I broke the ice with my Sword Art. Who else has something else they want to take a swing at?
Everyone and their brother has probably heard of this by now, but just in case you're the one person living under an MMO and haven't heard of it, you really, truly owe it to yourself to watch Death Note.
You want to know what's funny? I still have not seen the Death Note cartoon, but I did see both live-action movies.
The live-action movies were really good, but seriously, the anime is amazing.
Want to know what's funnier, though? I still don't understand why you, Rick, agreed to go see that movie with us. You didn't know anything about the anime. You just kind of took a plunge, and then you were like, this is awesome!
Because I liked the idea of the story when you guys told me about it.
Yeah, it's cool. And you like the sweets, we remember.
Sweets!
It saddens me to say that they just gave up on doing that. We saw that at... God, I never remember the names. Phantom, something like that, events where they used to actually show foreign films, anime. This was not animated, but it was from Japan. Things like that in theaters, basically all across the country, one night.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was not available anymore. And apparently all the anime kids destroyed the theaters and it never made any money. So they just stopped.
That sucks because those events were pretty fun.
Those were awesome. But no more.
I'm sorry. Somebody wrote my name in a Death Note and I died. Yeah. But I'm back. I'm back. I used my Shinigami powers and I'm back.
You used the little known death eraser, didn't you?
I did. It was shaped like Hello Kitty. Hello Shinigami. It's a new line of toys. Nerd Trevor will be putting out soon. Death Note. Is it a spoiler to give any kinds of a synopsis on these when we're talking about them? Or...
It's like 5 years old. I think that's expired.
That's a good one. So Death Note basically addresses the sort of god concept. If you were given godlike powers over life and death, what kind of a person would you be, or how would the person that you are sort of manifest itself on the world stage? And basically that's it. A teenage kid gets the power over life and death and interesting things happen. I guess that's a fair way to sum it up.
Wackiness ensues.
Yeah. Yeah, go figure that a high school student doesn't turn out to be the most fair or just or measured arbiter of divine.
Yeah, and he ends up with a looming demon who eats apples and hangs around him.
Yeah, Rook, the demon, was actually on our show last week. He's now left divining and is creating theme parks, awesome experiential theme parks. So good tie-in.
Yeah, we do what we can. Did you guys, or were you guys made aware, or have you heard anything about the new version that's coming out of the Death Note? Yeah, it's a reboot. It's called Death Tablet. And
this kid downloads an app from outside of the Android store.
He does.
He sideloads this app.
He sideloads an app and can take out other people. But it was funny because you guys had mentioned the very rarely spoken of Death Eraser. Well, in this, they don't have a Death Eraser, obviously, but they do have the Death Control Z. So.
Oh, I like it.
Which actually sounds like an anime name in and of itself, Death Control Z.
Should register that URL tonight.
Yeah, I think I might have to.
I'm really digging the tablet adaptation of Death Note.
And well, it doesn't really kill you, it just deletes like your online life. Like your online presence.
It unlikes all your Facebook posts.
Yeah.
It kills the it kills your social networking self. Yeah, I love that.
Oh man, we should definitely do a Kickstarter and make a movie out of this because that's a damn good idea.
Yeah, we get sponsorship from Samsung, I think, too. Samsung Note, the Samsung Death Note. I think that would go over very well.
Fuck yeah, dude. See, it's all fallen into place, man. It's all fallen into place. All right, well, Brian, did you have another one?
I can go, but it's your turn.
Well, I got nothing but hatred.
So, hatred works.
If you want to get one, another one in there that's positive, go ahead. Do a recommendation because I got a couple non-recommendations.
I'll go zany. One of the things I liked most about Death Note was the entire premise of the show is the first episode, Rook, the demon, the death demon, is bored. He's just bored because killing people all day long is boring. So he decides to have some fun by throwing his godlike powers to Earth and seeing who picks it up and seeing what they do with it. And I love that. Just that's the premise. A god is bored and fucks with people. So if you're interested in just zany premises that don't make any sense, Fooly Cooly, which I can't even talk about because I have no idea what the hell happened in it. There's a giant robot and a guy with a zit and like an angry girl, and it's funny as hell. I don't know how they even pulled it off.
I hear that from a lot of people that is just completely whacked out and makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, that's very fair.
Yeah, it is very fair. Don't forget as well, and I'll seal the deal by pointing out that there's an evil organization that makes a habit of ironing worlds flat in a very literal sense, unless I am forgetting how that sort of admittedly difficult to follow storyline went.
I do remember that, actually. I had forgotten that because I was just intrigued by the robot and the angry girl, the angry alien girl, if I remember.
Mm-hmm. She was.
Every episode is just completely different, Rick. Man, it's like, I think they actually do like a South Park parody in one episode. And then they do like a manga parody where you're actually like just reading still screens.
Yikes.
I think if we're talking about Fooly Cooly, if you want to go zany but on a little more serious tip, to use the hip-hop expression, tip, I recommend Serial Experiments Lane. Or is it Rain or Lane? It's spelled with an L, but we know those are sort of interchangeable in Japanese, Brian.
Ooh, that's racist, bro.
I don't think so. I think that...
I mean, blow.
Is it pronounced... In the anime, do they pronounce their name with an R sound or an L sound?
It's the same thing, I believe.
Okay. Anyway, however you want to pronounce it, I recommend that. It's all about... It's all about, again, life spent in the virtual space, I think, and the antics which unfold.
The hook to that is someone's classmates commit suicide and then like starts texting her and you know, dead people don't usually do that. They kind of prefer like Ouija boards, so it's unusual.
I thought that was Dot Hack. I'm just kidding. Dot Hack's where that's where the people are in the
that's Sword Art Online 05 or whatever.
Yeah, I wanted to throw one more quick recommendation in before we gave you the floor, Rick, because we want you to feel free to just let fly with your bludgeon.
All right, well, on the tails of our recent love for cutting cables, watching free shows, stuff like that, I decided I was going to try to venture forth into some extremely brand new, as in just started this month, August 1st, it came out. It's a Hulu show, one of three new animated shows on Hulu that are all original. This is the only one that's aired so far. And it's right up our alley. It's called The Awesomes. And sadly, it's anything but. It is a show that was created by Saturday Night Live guy Seth Meyers and Jimmy Fallon, who used to be on Saturday Night Live, now has a TV show, or like a talk show, I guess. And one of his writers, so that guy's name is Michael Shoemaker, and Seth Meyers created this. Apparently, the idea for this has been around for a while, because back in 2007, it was picked up by Sci-Fi, was later passed on, never created. Then after that, in 2009, was picked up by MTV. Also, never created.
Wow.
Then, a short 4 years later, in April of 2013, Hulu gave it the green light, put it into production, and the first episode aired on August 1st. The premise of the show is a group of superheroes, much like the Justice League, called the Awesomes, led by the one, the only, Mr. Awesome. And the first episode goes into the idea where Mr. Awesome is celebrating his 90th birthday or some shit like that and announces his retirement. And he is passing the torch to someone else in the group. And everybody assumes that it's going to be his son, Jeremy Awesome, whose superhero name is PROC, which stands for Professor and Doctor. So it's like a mix of the two. Not really funny, I don't think, whatsoever.
Agreed.
But this kid doesn't really, he has one power. He can stop time and talk to himself. He can't really do anything while time is stopped. And he just kind of is like a rank 2 out of 10 superhero, real piece of shit, goofball loser kind of guy or whatever. So, the press is all there and they're expecting this announcement, and it actually turns out that he tries to hand it over to somebody else in the group, kind of like his right-hand man. That guy doesn't want to have anything to do with it. He says, gee, boss, I don't think I could walk in your footsteps. Kind of like the honorary turndown kind of thing. And then some wackiness ensues, and next thing you know, Mr. Awesome decides that he's going to go ahead and actually pass the torch over to his useless son, PROC. Upon doing so, everybody that's currently in the superhero group decides to quit, except for one of his buddies. So they go to all these type of lengths to keep the stuff together, but the government doesn't want to give them funding. And the idea of the show is he needs to throw together a ragtag team of superheroes to keep government funding. And when he does, he constantly is trying not to live in the shadows of Mr. Awesome. Doesn't this fucking show sound awesome, you guys?
You're making it sound interesting.
It sounds interesting and could be interesting, but it just falls flat on so many levels. I liked the idea, which is why I watched it. I watched all three episodes that are out. I kind of figured maybe the stuff that I wasn't liking would get past the pilot episode, which was a two-parter. So actually, I've seen three episodes, but only two shows. Does that make sense? Because the first one was broken in half. So the downfalls of this are exactly the opposite of what we found with Video Game High School. The shit feels cheap. It looks lesser quality than most web cartoons I've seen. And the voice acting in it is just bad. Overall, the whole thing is just kind of like, visually, it looks real similar to Archer. It's kind of looks like Flash Illustrator type of vector graphics you'd see on the web, which I don't particularly hate, but it's just done not as well as I've seen it done for web viewing even. So that was a little bit of a disappointment, but really the fact that it's got these really funny people, and most of the cast that does voice acting is from either other comedies or Saturday Night Live members. There's Saturday Night Live people, there's stand-up comedians, there's sitcom people, all really good, funny people on their own, but you put them in this situation and it just feels really contrived and just really falls flat. And then, of course, there's the shoehorned in, let's bleep stuff out and make it racy. And it could just really do without that as well. So, I don't know. It's like a shitty attempt at trying to be Archer meets Venture Brothers.
That's pretty sad, considering the quality of people involved, or I should say the pedigree of people involved, right? You would expect something really good to be coming out of that.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know if I'm even going to bother to watch. It has a 10-episode run, but I don't know if I can make it through the rest of it. I mean, I watched the second one simply because it was a continuation of the first one. I watched the third one because it was a separate story, and it was worse than the other two. So, I don't know. I don't think it really has legs beyond the 10 shows, if they can even stretch it out that far.
You're looking forward to watching the fourth one just to get the memory of the third one out of your head.
See, that's what I'm afraid might happen. Watch by the end of it, I'll love it. So, I don't know. The ideas sounded great, but and then this thing that I know you would fucking despise, Tom. We know that it's on Hulu and it's free, and I expect commercials, right? I'm fine with that. What they've done was taken their main sponsor of the show, which apparently is Jack Link's, or whatever it's called, the beef jerky, the Messing with Sasquatch, and they've animated those. But not only have they animated those, they've worked them into bumpers of the show, and so tightly integrated that they're actually starting and ending storylines with it. And within that, also making fun of the fact that they know they're animating a commercial and it's interfering with their story.
No. I reject this. No. I don't like
that. That sounds unforgivable.
Okay, they're in their Justice League, which I think it's called Awesome Mountain, shaped like a big A. Actually kind of cool. All their stuff was repossessed, so they had no food and no personal chefs or anything. So they're sitting there at the table and they're eating this beef jerky, and the two guys are talking back and forth about how it's filled with protein and blah blah blah. And then the guy's like, "Why do I feel like this is a paid advertisement?" And then you see over in the corner, they pan over and then pan back real quick, and they're like, "And why is she holding cue cards?" And then they show one of the other characters sitting there holding cue cards with those words on it. Why is she holding cue cards? Etc., etc. So
they tried to do the whole product placement thing from Wayne's World.
Yes.
But they didn't do it well, it sounds like. Lame.
Yeah. Annoying.
Yeah. I'm sorry that you committed so much of your time to watching this stinker.
That was only like 66 minutes. I can live. I was looking forward to it. I was hoping it was going to be badass, but it was neither badass nor awesome. So,
well, it's good news for Comcast. I mean, you told me before the show that you ended up resubscribing to cable just because surfing channels couldn't be as bad as watching that crap online.
I know, right? I was really disappointed.
Well, maybe it'll get better. Maybe it'll get better. Stick with it and let me know if it does. If it doesn't, don't let me know.
Okay, that, and then another one that I watched that was actually a good movie. This was a movie, not a show, and it was Paranorman.
Paranorman.
Paranorman was like a Tim Burton-esque stop-motion animation type of movie.
Okay.
About this kid who would see ghosts and stuff. you know, and basically all the kids made fun of them and shit like that. The movie looked cool.
Oh, yeah, I remember the I remember the promotional material for this now. Yes, Paranorman.
Yeah, so the movie looked pretty cool. I was kind of figuring they could either go really kiddie or do something cool with it. And then right before it came out, it was noted that the faces and a bunch of parts of the armatures that were used to make the little puppets and stuff were 3D printed. So they used that technology. So they sculpt them on the computer, print them out, and then use that to do the animation, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that in the entire movie, I could tell that that shit was 3D printed, and it bothered the fuck out of me. Didn't bother Kimberly. I don't think it would bother anybody else. But, dude, I could completely tell, and it was irritating me.
What made it so obvious? Just the look of it? Or
you know, I think it mostly had to do with, oh, man, I hate to say it, but thinking about it, it looked very reminiscent of my Stormtrooper that I just got. The 3D scan of myself made into a Stormtrooper. And it just has this very specific coloration when you're adding the pigments and stuff to the model itself. And it just looked really weird. And that might just be me being technically a stickler about things because I'm familiar with it. So I wouldn't throw that in the ring if we were talking about this on any other type of show. I would just be like, yeah, the models were cool, but I had my own issues with them. The animation itself wasn't that fantastic in comparison to something like Frankenweenie or Corpse Bride, James the Giant Peach, anything Tim Burton's done, really. So it was like missing in spots, in breaky and a little weird, but all washed away because the story was really, really good. Was not a kiddie story at all. It was like a good dark fairy tale. And I don't want to give any spoilers because it's new on Netflix.
So the technical flaws aside, are you recommending it?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
But if you're somebody who's a real stickler for animation and you're going to pick it apart, there's a lot to pick apart and complain about. But if you're somebody who is technically inept with that stuff and could give two shits and just be like, dude, I just want to see a good story, this one's a good one. Had a couple moments where I felt like it was kind of thrown in there for the younger audience, kind of Scooby-Doo-esque type of moments, kind of akin, not that this happened, but the same type of wackiness that happens when you've got them running through the hallways in and out those doors. You know what I'm talking about?
With Davy Jones singing, I know a place where I am going, and this place where I am going, I can get you in.
Yes.
Exactly. Wow, that was great, Brian.
So there were some moments that were like that, a little, you know, too tongue-in-cheeky for my liking. But overall, the idea of the story was really good. It was, you know, fairly adultish, so it was cool. And definitely, if you're paying the $7.99 a month, it's one of the better new things that have been added on there. So definitely check it out.
I think I shall. So you had one sort of decidedly not so happy thing to report, but it sounds like you're pretty positive on the second item. So good. Yeah, I wouldn't say you were worried about it being too negative, but I think you were being a fair critic.
Yeah, let's go with that.
So let's bring things back over to me so I can be unfair. No. I'm not going to be unfair, but you talking about 3D animation got me thinking. I came in here being the weeboo that I am with a bunch of anime all loaded up to throw at you. And there is a lot of great stuff out there. But you got me thinking about a classic show that any fan of 3D animation and technology should watch. If you're not a kid who came of age in the 90s or an adult who enjoyed animation in the 90s, meaning if you're too young, then this will be like revisiting a classic for you. Do you guys know what I'm talking about yet?
I know what you're talking about.
Ah, all right. Ricky, what am I talking about?
I believe you're talking about the one, the only, the reboot.
Absolutely. You read my mind. Yes. Reboot definitely bears watching, I think, if you haven't seen it. I don't care if you're young, old, hot or cold. You got to watch Reboot. I thought that was a really good series.
It wasn't. That was like one of the, I don't know if it was the first, but it was definitely one of the forerunners in 3D, like actual real 3D that was on for cartoon wise back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, it was sort of a little mini golden age before we had we had the dark ages where we backslid with cartoons like Beast Wars, unfortunately.
Yes.
Which were worse, even though they came years later. But Reboot was really good.
Yeah, and that's actually the one I was thinking of when I was saying this. I'm like, I remember kind of there were some shitty ones, and I didn't remember where they fell into the timeline. But when Reboot came out, that was really kind of cutting edge.
Yeah, and I thought that was sort of the beginning of I guess what would later be the Pixar era, where for TV, did we ever really achieve that? Like, do you see 3D animated shows dominating? No, it's a lot of it's mainly hand drawn still, right?
Yeah, I mean, technically it's probably done digitally, but
right.
In the style of more traditional style animation. Definitely not like what we were seeing in Reboot, which was full, you know, what you expect from that raw 3D type of image. And actually, the limitations in technology, even though that was far greater than most shit we had seen up to that point, they almost went into it knowing, like, okay, this could become dated very quickly, so let's just make it, this is what things look like inside of a computer. And then that way, it's okay to have jaggedy edges and can be a little rough here and there because it's a little bit more, quote-unquote, raw technology. So I thought that was a good spin.
They weren't going for realism. And, you know, it was a good spin. And I think the reason I'm surprised that we're still not watching Reboot to this day is every year, every time they took a technological leap forward, that could have just been like the grid. What was the actual actual world called where they lived? It wasn't the grid.
I can't remember if
I'm drawing a blank, but it could have had upgrades. So as the graphics improved, it could have just been upgrades taking place, you know?
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Yeah,
that almost seemed like a modern day Tron at the time.
I think that's why it appealed to me. It had echoes of that sort of, you know, it was the in the computer world that these people lived in.
And it had that. Let's not forget there was a couple of goofy kind of things in there that were kid friendly. But then you had something that was really surprising in that series, and that was the villain, Hexadecimal.
Yes.
That shit looked evil and crazy and mean and completely badass. I actually still have a whole set of Reboot figures, mint in box.
I'll happily take those as a free gift if you want to give them to me.
And I commonly refer to her as Hecadecimal.
Hecadecimal did have a... She looked like kind of demented, honestly, for being like a part of a Saturday... morning cartoon.
Yeah, that was a good one, man. That was definitely that's the retro animation throwback for this episode. Go check that out.
Absolutely. Brian, before we toss it over to you for another recommendation, what are your thoughts on Reboot?
The only thing that I really remember about Reboot is I was a latecomer and everyone started talking about how awesome it was, and I was like, oh yeah, I'll watch this. Didn't they like just completely change it towards the end? And wasn't the guy like an old grizzled like Solid Snake?
He did become a dreadlocked like Solid Snake figure at the end, yes. And Enzo, the kid, like grew up. It was Bob was the main character, and I think Enzo was a kid. I think he got older. They did advance somewhat.
So I kind of felt like I had missed out and could not go back. So
I remember not liking it as much after that happened too. But I would have done a little more research on this if Rick hadn't just kind of spontaneously prompted me to bring it up. So. Okay, well, sorry you missed the boat on it, but I think you should watch it now. I'll leave it at that.
You may have to.
Enough time has passed where maybe it's erased from your memory banks.
Absolutely. So with that, I invite you now to give another recommendation.
I want to be a little bit different, and I guess this is I guess Rick touched on this discussing movies. But what I think of as animation, maybe it's just because I'm old, I usually think of episodic ad nauseum, just run forever until they stop selling toys. 80s cartoons like Transformers and G.I. Joe and even Voltron was guilty of that. And something as I grew up, I really started to like was they're called OVAs, original video animations, where it's pretty much a short. One of the ones I'm going to discuss is 5 minutes long. And the thing I like about that is they're capable of such power that I really think things like that make animation, give animation credibility as film.
Yeah. If for anybody who's unfamiliar with what Brian's talking about, a perfect mainstream example of that would be any digital short that's in front of a Pixar movie.
Yes. Very, very good example. And like I said, like, I don't think it's a terribly American concept, Pixar aside. And I think some other people really do it well. The Japanese, of course, being a fellow weeboo like Tom. And two of the OVAs I wanted to mention are actually by the same creator and available on the same DVD, if anyone still purchases those. She and Her Cat is a 5-minute story about a stray who gets picked up by a girl and falls in love with her. And that's kind of it. It's just his daily life dealing with a cat girlfriend that he doesn't want to become serious with because he's in love with his human girlfriend.
I'm laughing, but it doesn't sound like it was meant to be a comedy. It's just like a very awkward situation.
The creator, I can't pronounce this. I apologize in advance. Makoto Shinkai just has a way of ripping your fucking heart out. It's very sad. It ends well or whatever, but, you know, you go through hell to get there. It's not necessarily a downer, but it's really, like, heartstring tuggy. As is his more popular and slightly longer OVA, Voices of a Distant Star. It's a... Rick's seen it. It's about half an hour long. It is a story about Earth having been invaded by, well, not invaded, attacked by aliens, is preparing a retaliatory force, and they're recruiting highly tested high school, I guess, graduates, students. I'm not really sure. And the female half of a young budding relationship scores well enough to be a fighter pilot. So she goes off to turn back the alien tide, and her boyfriend is left on Earth. And the story unfolds as they text each other. But, of course, as she is traveling faster than light, her texts take forever to get to him. So this poor soul sits on Earth and waits and waits and waits, checking every day and never getting a message. And when he gets one, years have passed, and it's picking up from something that she just said.
Oh my gosh, so his life passes. Yeah, it's the whole relativity thing. That's kind of a mind blower, huh?
It's really great. And this is actually an older film. It was kind of one of the earlier ones to tackle that, I think. I know that's been done a little bit lately.
Interesting. Now, what's an OVA versus just a movie or an animated short? Or is there anything characteristic of an OVA? Because I know I've seen anime series for which supposed OVAs have been released. Corresponding OVAs, I should say.
I think we would call it a film, a short. I think it's the same thing.
Okay.
It's apparently, looking at a wiki here, it's part of a series made specifically for home video. So maybe it's like a direct-to-video.
Okay. With that being the definition we're going to accept then, and first of all, agreeing with you that OVAs were kind of an exclusive anime thing for a long time, at least as I recall back when we were young, Brian. I will say that it seems like the Western studios have, especially those who do adaptations of Western comic book franchises, seem to have embraced that concept. Because isn't it, I believe it's DC that on Netflix is like seemingly always releasing another, I guess, OVA, right, involving some DC superhero.
I'm not sure where the line between OVA and movie lies, but yeah. I would call those OVAs.
Okay, cool. So that cross-pollinization has been good then for Western animation as well. So with the definition of OVA sort of arrived at, if I can end a half sentence with a preposition, I guess we're getting toward the end of the episode. And so I thought we could, in the spirit of making sure our listeners leave with a large number of recommendations, each of us go around and in a lightning round kind of fashion, just rattle off some more animated recommendations. I'll go first. I'll rattle off my list and then pass it on to whoever wants to go next. I recommend there's a current running anime called Attack on Titan. I'm sure you've heard of it. It's quite popular right now. It's about humans warding off a race of human hungry titans who just want to eat them. Very cool. Reminds me a lot of a manga I have read, and there's a corresponding anime for, called Claymore, where a bunch of teenage girls fight, like, big zombie beast that are hellbent on basically eating humans. So very similar. Recommend Claymore. And for the lighter side of things, we've talked about it here. I've watched all 50 episodes and recommend you do the same. I definitely recommend some Polar Bears Cafe, also known as Shinu. You know, I just don't know how to say polar bear in Japanese, even though I watched
Shinigami! Shinigami!
There you go. Rook's Shinigami Cafe. Check it out. Brian, you got any final recommendations?
I would not be able to sleep tonight if I didn't recommend Urusei Yatsura.
Yeah.
I'm going incredibly old school, but it's brilliant. You should give it a chance. The animation probably sucks compared to what we're used to by now, but the story is just great. The characters are each and every one interesting and crazy. It's a great show.
Absolutely. Can't beat a show about a man who stops an alien invasion by basically being forced into a shotgun, what would you call it, betrothal to an alien princess?
Yeah.
And that ran for many years.
200 episodes, I think?
Yeah. Good stuff. Definitely recommend it as well.
And finally, a really good movie that I had that was part of Fort Lauderdale Film Festival, wasn't it? Summer Wars?
Yeah. I don't remember if that was just a sponsored event locally, but yeah, Summer Wars. Go on.
Very nerdy. It starts off with a virtual world, much like the Oasis, slowly taking over the entire world. And that becomes so important to just functioning, the infrastructure, the banking, so important to humankind that the zany cast of Irregulars must defend it from a cyber invasion, and they have to pull together in real life to accomplish that. And it's great. It's really good.
Agreed. How about you, Ricky? You got any lightning round recommendations?
Actually, Tom, I do. And oddly enough, this has nothing to do with the internet. It has nothing to do with free. It has nothing to do with cable cutting. It's standard television, Fox Network, Bob's Burgers. Absolutely, 100% the funniest animation show that's on TV today. It's awesome. It's a show about this guy and his wife who own a restaurant, aka Bob's Burgers, and their three kids work there, and the three kids are fucking mental cases and retarded, and they're hilarious. And then my next recommendation, I actually thought of on the fly after Brian was talking about the OVAs, and I used to attend this festival when it would roll into town, and it was called Spike and Mike's Sick and Twisted Festival of Animation. And it would run these insanely artsy to insanely disturbing clips of animation that would run anywhere between 2 minutes each or 15 minutes. Just a huge smorgasbord of animation and styles and themes. I think the name says it all, Sick and Twisted Festival of Animation. Has to be something worth checking out. You can see a lot of them for free online on YouTube. You can buy the DVDs on Amazon. Super popular. Check it out. You won't regret it.
Kind of like a touring version and more edgy version of the old MTV Liquid Television, maybe?
Yes, exactly. That's okay. Actually exactly what it is, Tom.
Cool. Well, I think that pretty much rounds out our episode. If you haven't come away with some recommendations yet, feel free to email us, but we can't recommend that we will answer because we'd feel a little betrayed that you weren't listening to our episode carefully enough to come away with the recommendations. I'm sorry, I'm really resentful. But one thing we definitely can recommend is that you subscribe to our humble little podcast on the iTunes. Swing over to iTunes, which has recently reached its billionth podcast subscription, I'd like to note. We are big contributors to that, I like to think. Subscribe to us, rate us favorably, and write us an awesome review, and a review fit for its own OVA.
And if you don't like the iTunes, you can head on over to www.nerdstravaganza.com, where you can download the show, rate the show, trace the show, ink the show, all kinds of cool stuff.
Or you can join us in social media, and that's pretty much any social media these days. We're really branching out there. Google+, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can like us all over.
And don't forget, if you prefer to stream us right into your ears, to check us out on none other than Stitcher.